Good to see everyone today. Merry Christmas to you and happy birthday, Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So in the spirit of giving, I've decided I'm going to give out some gifts. Okay? Sound good? But you have to kind of earn it. So I have some Christmas, a little bit of Christmas trivia. All right? But don't blurt out any answers. There are prizes. There are gifts. Okay? So the first one is, you have to raise your hand. Men, don't blurt out any answers. Okay? First question. Okay, how many magi came to visit Jesus? Who knows this? Okay, I'll ask Yolanda. Yolanda. Three. Brr, okay. Stacy. No one knows. Is that right? That's right. It is unknown. Unknown. Nice. $5 Starbucks gift card. Okay. All right. Next question. Why did the angel tell Joseph to name the baby Jesus? In the back. Is that, who's that? Kwan? Who's that? No one knows. Nope. Anyone know? Why did the angel tell to name the baby Jesus? You can look in the Bible. Oh, geez. Who, someone, does someone have their hand up? Who? Jeremy, were you pointing at someone? Yes. Angel told him? Okay, that's good. But why did the angel tell him? Why did the angel tell him? Yep. What's that? Because God told him to. Read your Bibles, people. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Why? Just tell me. Just tell me. Go ahead. Yeah, he came to save the world from their sins. Okay, is that right? Next slide. Yeah, save his people from their sins. Okay, awesome. That was Alyssa. Get yourself a nice hot chocolate from Starbucks. Okay. All right, next question. Okay, the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, what gift is given on the 12th day? Jen Mao. No, that's 10. Good, good. 12th day. Nice. Drummer. Okay, you get Praying God's Word and Soul Talk, two books. Okay? There you go. There you go. Nice. All right, there's going to be more chances to get some more prizes. Is there one more? Okay, what is the vision of SCAC? That's really important. Everyone's hand should be up. What? Oh, no. Serena. Yes, the new one, yes. That's great. That's great. Good enough, yep. Okay, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. Good, good, really good book. Really, really good book. Awesome. Okay, there's a couple more opportunities, all right, church, so hold on to your horses. So gift giving is, these are the only gifts that I'm giving this Christmas. It's a really hard thing to do. And I know some of you guys, when you go shopping and gift giving, you're really good at it. You say things like, that would be a great gift for that person. You know that person, it would just fill up that person with so much joy if they had that. You just know what to give because you study people and you care. And I don't care as much as you. But I do know a great gift when I see one. Because one day, in the mind of God, God asks the question. He says, what do I give people to whom I love the most? What do I give people to whom I love the most? And because he loved the world so much, because he loved you so much, because he loved me so much, he decided that he would give himself in his son Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to enter the womb of a Virgin Mary. And so God's idea of the perfect gift wasn't a set of rules to follow, but it was that Christ could be birthed in all of us. And that would make us alive. So we're going to look at Colossians chapter 2. Continuing our series, The Supremacy of Christ. So go ahead and turn there to Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And we're going to think more about the gift of Jesus that makes us alive. Colossians chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, it says this: I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And you want to underline that phrase: the mystery of God, namely in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, when you read that verse, it sounds kind of a little bit highbrow. It sounds a little bit intellectual. But Paul's intentions here are exactly the opposite. If you look at verse 4, it says, I tell you these things. The reason he's talking about the mystery of Christ and the treasure and wisdom is that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And so what was happening was that there were some false teachers who were coming in who were saying that if you really want to know God, if you really want to experience God and Christmas and things like that, you've got to have this sophisticated knowledge. You've got to have some secret passwords. You have to perform some sacred rituals in order to meet and to know and to experience God. And Paul's saying, no, you don't need any of that stuff. All you need to do is understand, dwell on the mystery of Christ. And he kind of has this tongue-in-cheek because he calls it the mystery of Christ. When we think of that word mystery, I know we think of, in our modern terms, we think, okay, if something's a mystery, then I kind of just remove my brain. I don't think about it anymore. Tell me how the Trinity works. Well, it's a mystery. Okay, I won't think about it anymore. That's kind of how we tend to look at the word mystery. But in the ancient understanding of the word mystery, the true meaning of the word is this, is that mystery is not something that you cannot understand. Mystery is something that is endlessly understandable. Okay, let me say it again. Mystery is not something that you cannot understand, but it is something that is endlessly understandable. It's multidimensional. It's multi-layered. When you experience one truth, when you grasp one truth, it opens the door to discovering another. When you have one question answered about Christ, it seems to open up another set of questions. Once you grasp one particular issue or truth about Jesus, it reframes all the previous truths that you understood before. It's kind of like a great marriage where as you grow older in years and years, you continue to discover new mysteries about each other. I recently heard about a couple who were much, much older in years, and they were both losing their memory. And so one thing they decided to do was to just write everything down that they needed to remember about each other and things like that. And they were sitting at TV one time, and the husband goes up to get something from the kitchen, and the wife says, "Would you get me some iced tea?" And the husband says, "Well, sure, I'll get you some." She said, "Well, you should write that down because you might forget." He's like, "No, just take me a second. I don't need to write it down." She says, "You know you're going to forget. So I want iced tea. You know, I have my iced tea and I want some sugar. Write it down." Husband's like, no. She's like, "I want iced tea with sugar with lemon. You've got to write it down. You're going to forget." And the husband's like, "No, I don't need to." So he goes to the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, he comes back with toast and eggs. And she gives a plate to him. She's like, "You forgot my hash browns." When Paul talks about the mystery of Christ, he's saying you can study, you can memorize, you can research, you can follow on Jesus full on your entire life, but you will never exhaust, you'll never finish learning about Jesus. Your wonder of him will never be exhausted. The truth of the gospel is endlessly understandable. That's the reason why in the history of the world, there's never been so many books inspired by Jesus. There's never been more poetry, art, culture, architecture, all inspired by Jesus. I was thinking the other day, as I was listening to the radio, because it's all Christmas music, right? You know, the birth of Jesus, the birth of Jesus has inspired the greatest music and the most music more than any other event in human history, right? Okay, another chance to win some, get a gift. Who wrote this very famous song? Okay, holy wisdom, love most bright, drawn by thee, our souls aspiring, soar to uncreated light. Word of God, our flesh that fashioned, with the fire of life and passion, striving still to truth unknown, soaring, dying round thy throne. Who wrote that? See, all of you I know actually know the song, you just don't know the words. Anyone? Da 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 da. Oh, anybody know that song? Name of the song? Anybody know the name of the song? What's that? Green sleeves? No. 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 This is Starbucks card and books. Think hard. Your hand went up really quick. No. Mike? No. Jeremy? That's right. Thank you. Thank you. The Signature of Jesus, Shattered Dreams, both excellent books and gift card. It was, what's it called again? Yesu, Joy of Man's Desire, right? Next slide. There it is. Okay. Now, next song, okay? For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kingdom of this world has become the kingdom, okay? Yeah? Cohen? Handel's Messiah. All right, good. Praying God's Word, the Signature of Jesus, and a Starbucks card. There you go. Merry Christmas. Okay, so some really just amazing, amazing songs. This one's a definitely a holiday classic. What's this one? I don't want to miss out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'm going to be under the mistletoe with you, Shanti, with you. With you, Shanti, with you. With you under the mistletoe. All right. What's your name? Yeah, you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, who's that? Justin Bieber? Mistletoe? Okay. Good. For you, you get a Starbucks card, okay? And this is a Bible, because you really need to read this more than listen to Justin Bieber. Okay? All right? Awesome. Awesome. So, from Bach to Bieber. Just amazing music inspired by Christmas. And so, what about your heart? Do you see, can you see how the mystery of Christmas can still inspire you? Think about God's journey from heaven to here, the insecurity on earth. Does that still inspire you to risk new journeys, to risk new adventures for the sake of love? How does God's gift of himself to the world, how does that still inspire us to surrender our lives, to give all of ourselves for the sake of other people? You see, the great gift of Christmas is that it's just not meant to be received, but the mystery, it keeps inspiring us to give the best out of us, inspiring the best enough, the best of love and the best of generosity and the best of grace and the best of mercy. This really is the most wonderful, wonderful time of the year because his birth inspires us to live every day as Christmas. Amen? Amen. I just want to share you a couple of gift ideas that the Christmas mystery has been inspiring me in these past couple of weeks since Advent. Number one is the gift of beholding Christmas. The gift of beholding Christmas. What I've just been so amazed with and worshiping is that God came as a human being. Because why? Because he wanted to be known. There's something in the heart of God. There's something in his heart that he just wants to disclose who he is. It's part of his nature that he wants people to know him. He wants people to know him. The image I had in my mind was double doors that were just, you know, swung open wide. That's one of the images that have just been stuck in my mind this past Advent. That inside of God's heart are these double doors that are just swung open wide for anyone to come in, to have a conversation with him, to speak with him, to know him. And when you know him, those people who get to know him, they are changed. The self-disclosure of one invokes a deeper response in the other. Baby Jesus is a living invitation to know God and to be changed. Do you know Jesus? Have you sensed his compassion? Have you felt his empathy? Have you received his love? Has your heart of stone been replaced by a heart of flesh? Have you asked him to make your heart come alive? And I don't know about you, maybe 2011 maybe was a tough year for you. Maybe there were some hurtful things that happened. Maybe there were some things that made your heart a little more jaded. And you probably think, oh, people will never change, and I'll never change, and so forth. And Maybe you've lost a little bit of hope and meaning and the richness of life. But another thing about babies, and you can ask any parent, is that when a parent holds their child, their baby, for the first time, there's two thoughts that automatically go through their head. Number one is don't drop the baby. All right, just really practical. Don't drop the baby. Every parent's just really scared. Second thing, though, is that the parent has, they're filled with incredible hope. That's the second thing, automatic. They're filled with incredible hope. Babies inspire hope. Think about Mary and Joseph and their Jewish custom, right? They took baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And the prophet Simeon, after he dedicates the baby, he says these amazing words. He says, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised." He says, I can die now. You know, I have two kids here, Mia and Mason, and they're so cute. And people have said they're so cute. But has anyone ever said, you know, to you or about you or another baby, you know, after they see the baby, like, oh, I could die now after I see the baby. You know, just kind of weird. But he says, "I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." This man, Simeon, his whole life was spent waiting, hoping, in expectation. The baby hadn't even been born yet, but the promise of this baby inspired his life. He was keeping hope alive. It's as if Simeon was saying, "I believe and I know that God is doing something amazing in the world, and I want to be a part of it. I'm going to watch for it. I'm going to look for it. I believe that God is doing something wonderful. There's something tremendous going on, that God is behind it, and I want to watch for it, and I would love to somehow participate in it, to be a part of it." He's inspired with hope. Jesus, this baby, inspires hope. And for those of you, maybe who are coming into this place with not a lot of hope, a little bit down, maybe a little bit jaded about Christmas, your existence is kind of this humdrum thing, day to day. And what I believe, and what I would say to you is this, is that deep down, you really don't want to live that way. I believe deep down, you really feel and sense that you are meant for something greater. Deep down, with all the cynicism or jadedness that might be there, you know that something's wrong with a heart like that. You actually sense and believe, if you allow yourself to believe, to know that you were meant for joy. You were meant for joy. You were meant for hope. And we find our greatest joy, we find our greatest hope when we put our hope not in conquests and not in development and not in creating something. It's in this person of Jesus. We find our greatest joy and our hope in the baby who came to save the world, who came to redeem you through his blood and to wash all of your sins away. He comes and births and makes your heart alive. You just need to behold Jesus. He's the most inspiring baby that you could ever behold. That's why we do, on Christmas Day, we do baby dedications. Because babies inspire hope. It reminds us that our greatest hope is in Jesus. So there's a special lady we want to dedicate today. Courtney, could you come on down and bring your parents with you? Come on up. Come on up.
It's okay to rock here up.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, let's try. Let's try this. Hi, Courtney. Come here, buddy. Come here, baby. Come here.
Be right by you.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. 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 It's okay. It's okay. Okay, Courtney, so I want to have a little conversation with you just for a moment, okay? And I just want you to know two things, and it's okay if you don't understand. I want you to know two things, okay? First of all is that you inspire a lot of hope in your mom and dad. When they think about you, when they look at you, they just think about your future. They think about how God created you, and they have all these hopes and dreams for you. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. I know. And another thing, what's even really cool too, Courtney, is that when your parents look at you too, there's something that gets called out of them. When they look at you, they think about the people that they want to become, to be the best parents they can be. So you are also inspiring hope in themselves. You're bringing out the best in them, just like Jesus. Okay? All right, so we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Just parenthetically, by the way, for some of you who don't know, but Courtney was adopted from China this past year. And this is number two from China. And for me, I was just thinking this past week, I don't know what Courtney's biological parents were hoping for when they had to give her up or whatever the circumstances were. But I was thinking they probably couldn't have hoped for better parents than both of you guys. You guys, just what you've done, taking in the orphan, you know, the alien, SCAC, every single one of us here could learn from your guys' example. Thank you. Fun. Okay. Oh, baby. Yeah. Okay. Okay. There you go. There you go. All right, baby. Okay. All right, church. Let's pray. Okay? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for a wonderful day today. Thank you for the gift, babies. Thank you for the gift of new life. It's a symbol. It's a reminder of new birth that we might experience in ourselves. It's a symbol and reminder of the hope that you give to us through new beginnings, through new lives. We pray for Courtney. And we pray that she will have the kind of hope and faith of Simeon. We pray that she'll have that same prophetic flair as the prophet Anna as well. We pray that Courtney will grow to be a woman that loves God, that seeks to know God's will, that seeks to obey you in everything. We pray that Courtney will grow to be a disciple who loves God far above all other loves. We pray Courtney will grow to be a disciple that pursues Trinitarian community at any cost, that her heart, that the double doors in her heart will be wide open. And we pray for Courtney that she would prioritize justice and mercy as you have done for her, as her parents have done for her. And we pray for Glenn and Tessie, Kira, ask for your abundant love and mercy. Give them great wisdom in their parenting. Give them great discernment in all of their decision-making. Father, most of all, may they be led by your vision for you and vision for how, God, you are forming each of us in Christ. May their highest vision, Father, be that Christ would be fully formed in their children. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand, guys. This is your certificate. Okay, yeah. Wow. Amen. Amen. One of the things about babies is why they're so precious is because they're so vulnerable. And that's the other thing. That's probably the biggest thing that I've been thinking about this Christmas is God has given us the gift of vulnerability. The gift of vulnerability. Just think about this for a moment, right? God, Jesus chose to be born to Mary. Poor servant girl, probably no older than 15 years old. Husband Joseph, they have to travel. They can't find a place to stay, much less a clean space, and they have to settle for a feeding trough for a crib. All the while, King Herod, seeking after them, wants to kill the baby. Eventually, they need to flee to Egypt. We read last week in Colossians that Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, that he is the firstborn of all creation, that in him all things hold together. This baby, this God, decides that his visitation to earth is going to be marked by vulnerability. A couple years back, some of you remember when Queen Elizabeth came, and she came to visit the U.S., and there was an article written detailing of all the expenses that were required for this particular visitation. And the article reported that she brought approximately 4,000 pounds of luggage with her. The queen packed two outfits for every occasion, a mourning outfit in case someone died, 40 pints of plasma, and special leather toilet seat covers. The article also revealed that accompanying the queen throughout her visit was a personal hairdresser, two valets, a host of other attendants, and to cradle to the grave. Jesus remains open to whatever circumstances and to whatever relationships come his way. From the vulnerability of the cradle to the vulnerability of the cross, Jesus' heart is open to all relationships no matter the cost. What are the greatest goals in your life? And I just think this is so important. What are the greatest goals in our lives? Is that from the cradle to the grave, that our heart, like Jesus, would remain relationally open, relationally holy. One of the greatest goals of our lives. Think about Jesus. He had every reason. I mean, throughout his life, he had so many reasons to just close up his heart, to just shut the double doors, to say, God, this is too hard. People aren't going to get it. People aren't going to really care. And why don't I just pack up and I just go home? Because people don't care. He had so many reasons just to close his heart. The religious right opposed him. The scholarly thought that he was cavorting with the devil. His closest friends deserted him, even betrayed him. His enemies plotted to kill him. And innocent, he was declared guilty, hung on a cross, staked to a cross to die a demeaning, shameful death. And yet, with his last breath on the cross, he's inviting the thief to come with him into heaven. And with his last breath, he's asked the Father that you would forgive, that he would forgive everyone for what they've done. The doors of his heart on the cross were still swung wide open. Let me ask you something. Do you know people with really closed hearts? Do you know people like that? Whenever you meet people with really closed hearts, what I feel is like there's always something offensive about it. Not only do you feel the disconnect of kind of this emotional pushback, but their coldness, some of the times their coldness sends literal shivers up your spine. People who are emotionally, relationally distant, disconnected from community, from deep relationships, even their own heart, they appear inhuman, inhumane. Everyone thought that when Jesus came, when the Messiah would come, that this Messiah was going to come and lift us up from the pit of humanity to make us divine and powerful and victorious and above everything that goes on earth. The truth is this. The reality is this, is that every human being is already divine because we bear the image of God. What Jesus did is he came down in human form to show us what it really means to be human. To be really human, created in the image of God, is to be Trinitarian. It means from the cradle to the grave, to be like Jesus, to remain relationally open. As a baby, as a child. To be Trinitarian means to remain relationally open, especially when it feels like you're losing. Especially when people oppose you, when they accuse you of cavorting with the devil, when your closest friends desert you and even betray you, when your enemies plot to murder you, when you're innocent but others declare you guilty, and yet your heart is still wide open, and yet you're still inviting people to join with you on the journey to knowing Christ, and yet your heart is still open that you can say, Father, forgive everyone that's ever wronged me. Father, forgive everyone that's ever wronged me. There's a man named Alan Paton. He was one of the earliest opposition leaders to the apartheid movement that took over South Africa around 1948. A couple years later, he founded an opposing political party known for its nonviolence and peace. And he summed up his philosophy in these really amazing words. He says this. He said, there is only one way in which one can endure man's inhumanity to man. And that is to try in one's own life to exemplify man's humanity to man. That's how we need to live our lives. That's how Jesus taught us to live life. To live with a closed heart is grossly inhuman. An open heart is possessed by those who are fully alive. Church, how is your heart? How is your heart this Christmas? For many of us, I think it's a great and wonderful morning. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad to be here with you all. Christmas inspires the best in us, the best of love and generosity, and we've been blessed so much. But there are, I know, a couple of you here that are struggling still to make sense of it all, struggling with an uninspired life where the amount of hope you experience is equal to the amount of water you'd find in a crusty old sponge. And you see the gifts that Jesus offers you, the gift of knowing him and the gift of vulnerability. And yet, we sense it that it takes a certain amount of humility to receive those gifts, doesn't it? Because we want to be controlled by the circumstances. We want to have arrived on our own merit, on our own conditions. We want to have figured out this life thing ourselves. It's really hard to say, I need Jesus to make me alive. It's hard to admit that. Search your heart. You can't do it alone. You need Jesus, and he's not a jerk. He doesn't hold it over you. He loves you. He came in this world so that you might know him. 2,000 years ago, we celebrate his birthday today. Surrender, surrender, and open the gift of his son this Christmas. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your birthday, and it's a happy day. Your birth, the wonder, the miracle, trumps everything that we experience in life. It shows us that God is a God who cares, that God is a God who will go to any lengths to disclose who he is, to tell us how much he loves us, and to do everything to actually save us. And so if there's anyone here today who is struggling with hope in life, who's losing hope, who's lost hope, who lives a life that is uninspired, that day to day it's kind of like a drone. Maybe there's someone here who's just never really opened their heart to God. I pray they might just join me and pray this prayer. Lord God, right now, I just open my heart to you. I admit I can't figure it out. I've tried different things, tried different philosophies and ways of thinking, but my heart is still stuck. It's still just as bitter, just as cold, just as unmoved. And I realize that only you can move it. Not by fixing me up, but by giving me a new heart. And I just want to receive that by faith right now. Hey, Jesus, you died for me, that I might be free from the grip of sin, from the grip of hopelessness, and that you have come to give me life in abundance, a life full of hope, because there is God. God is alive. He is real. He's made himself known. You're doing something great, something tremendous in the world, and I want to be a part of it because what I'm doing with myself is not that inspiring. And I want to get on board with what you're doing because you're doing the greatest things in this world, the things that are the most meaningful and most significant. And God, you are the only one that makes my heart come alive. And I just open that gift of beholding you, of knowing you right now. Opening the gift of vulnerability, that you created me to be a person that's vulnerable, to give the gift of vulnerability, to be open and show the love and depth of true humanity, humanity that's connected with divinity in fully in Christ. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Your gift that you've given to us, it means everything to everybody, whether they know it or not. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.